Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. I wanted to do a video on a podcast I heard this morning when I was in the gym from my good friends, Jeff Snyder and Emil Kalinowski. And I want to say right from the beginning that I think this is one of the most important videos I have ever done. And I'm not exaggerating. I think this could be the most important topic of the 2020s, for sure. And not just this year, but going into 2023, 2024, 2025, and beyond. This is epic. And this is something that I think is going to shape not only the macroeconomic world, but society and the global economy. So let's dive in, and I'm going to do my best to give it justice here. But before I do, let's go over to where you can hear this straight from the horse's mouth. And you can hear my buddy Emil and Jeff kind of dissecting their view and going into it in more detail. And what they've done is they've taken this concept that I'm sure all of you guys have heard on Rogan. You've heard it on Dr. Chris Martinson with Matthias Desmet talking about how this mass formation psychosis has taken over the Western world and has produced an environment where society is susceptible to quite literally being hypnotized. And it starts with society being in this state of depression. Now, they're not talking, the doctors involved here in Rogan, they weren't necessarily talking about an economic depression, but they should have been. And I'll get into that in just a moment. So they're talking about just a psychological state of depression. Where not everyone's depressed, of course, but people just, they're not themselves. And when you have this occur in aggregate total across an entire society, you would expect to see things like the birth rate go down, which Emil and Jeff point out has happened since the GFC. And even if it hasn't gone down in certain Western countries, it's not a trend. You would expect to see the suicide rate go up, which it has significantly. You would expect to see drug use go up. You would expect to see cases of actual depression going up. You would expect to see the life expectancy in places like the United States go down, which we have actually seen. This is what happens when a society psychologically is depressed. And Matthias Desmet points out that when a society is in this state, they're very receptive to being hypnotized, for lack of a better word. And they think that this is kind of explains what we've seen happening in 2020, 2021, and we're still seeing, the tail end of it here in 2022. So what Emil and Jeff do brilliantly is they go back and they say, okay, well, this hypothesis makes a lot of sense. But what they didn't do is they didn't say why society is in a psychological depression. And so they look at it through the lens of macroeconomics and they connect the dots. And again, I think this is absolutely brilliant on their part, and I cannot recommend you checking out this podcast enough. So this is just the one part of it if you want to go to Emil's YouTube channel. But if you guys are more into podcasts, just go to Eurodollar University. And you can check out their most recent podcast. I think it just hit this morning. I was listening to it at the gym. Absolutely blew my mind. And I will definitely be doing a whiteboard video on it next week. And I'm trying to get Emil on to discuss his ideas even further, because I think they have to get out there and circulate in the general population, on FinTwit, on social media, definitely on this channel. And the George Gammon channel. We need to talk about this because, again, I think it's going to be one of the most important topics of the 2020s, maybe of our lifetimes. Because if you think about where this leads and take it to its logical conclusion, it really dovetails with the fourth turning. And unfortunately, I think connecting these dots, in my mind, increases the probability, and I hate to say this, but it's just me being honest, it increases the probability of us going to a war, whether it's a civil war, whether it's a war with China, Russia, who knows, but it just seems to be the only way that this turns around, and hopefully, obviously, I'm wrong, but let's just go through their logic and the way they connected the dots so beautifully on this podcast. So let's start by looking at real GDP for the United States. And the first thing that they'll point out, Jeff and Emil, is we were on a very distinct trend line with real GDP going all the way back to, I mean, I would call it the early 1980s. And so it's just going up and up and up. And yes, we do have declines here and there, but it's still a very similar trend. Then we have the GFC. Everything collapses. We have huge government spending, just like we saw in World War II. And that's important. We're going to get into that in just a moment, because what we're going to do is we're going to compare real GDP from 2008 to 2020. We're going to compare it to real GDP growth during the Great Depression. And I think this is going to absolutely shock every single person listening right now. So if we start, and you'll see, if we continue this trend, and I'll do it with my pointer. If we continue this trend, we would be roughly, let's just say right around here. So going into the Cerveza sickness, real GDP was, let's say, 19 trillion. If we would have stayed on this trend, it would be at, let's say, 20, maybe 21 trillion. And you say, well, George, that's not that big of a deal. I say, well, it's 10%. That's huge. But Emil and Jeff rightly point out that this was just 1 year. Let's look at the delta for the last 12 years and add it up. So let's just say that it was between 1 and call it 2 trillion. Per year. And again, that delta, and it's probably not 2 trillion, but definitely 1 trillion. Let's just lowball it and say it was 1 trillion going all the way back to 2012. Well, if that's the case, then our GDP should be $12 trillion higher than it was prior to the Cerveza sickness. Think about that in percentage terms. When our total GDP is only 19 trillion, it should have been 12 trillion higher. Obviously, these are just, I'm ballparking it here, just so you understand the concept. That, my friend, is an economic depression, a massive economic depression, when you look at it from a standpoint of the trend. So would that create, or would that explain a lot of this societal, psychological depression that we have seen? That would put society in the state of mind to where they would be receptive to this entire hypnosis trend, or this susceptibility toward the entire population becoming or falling victim to this state of hypnosis through the central planners and the authoritarians. They would argue, yes, I would as well. This makes a lot of sense to me. And so you sit there and say, okay, well, George, yeah, it's below trend, but you know, we're still above the high water mark and it's not that bad. That's going to be the basic argument here. Okay, fine. Well, again, I would encourage you to go back and look at the statistics, such as the average life expectancy, the birth rate, the household formation, all of these things that you would expect to see decline if society was overall psychologically depressed in aggregate total. And it's just like clockwork, just one after the other, all of these metrics line up. And so the next thing I want to do, and that Emil and Jeff do, that this is brilliant in their podcast, is they look back at GDP growth during the Great Depression of the 1930s. Because again, the pushback you're going to get here is that, okay, well, we might not be at trend, and okay, I'll give it to you that if we stayed at trend, we would have been $12 trillion higher in GDP. And that is huge when it comes to the standard of living for the poor and middle class. I mean, you want to talk about inequality for a moment. You want to talk about real wages. What do you think that has done to the standard of living for the poor and the middle class to understand the fact that our GDP is $12 trillion lower than it would have been if the euro dollar system or the global monetary system would not have broke in 2008, or if we would have been able to acknowledge why it broke and then actually fix it? This goes back to the monetary system. And so I know a lot of people, they like to ignore macro. It doesn't really matter. Oh, who cares? You know, guys like Breedlove, he wants to talk about, you know, what is money? That's his podcast, which is another one that's fantastic, by the way. But oh, Breedlove, you know, guys like him, they just get too caught up in money and the monetary system and those Bitcoin maximalists and the gold standard guys. They just get too caught up in the banking system, and you know, they get detached from the real world. Really? Because if we would have had a sound system that would not have collapsed and we'd have continued on this trend, or if we would have been able to actually fix it and get back to trend, again, you're talking about a $12 trillion difference in GDP. And just for a moment, just hit pause and think about what that would mean to society. Think about what that would mean for the poor and the middle class right here in the United States. And then you look at other economies in the West, and it's very similar. But for a moment, let's go back, and I want to remind you, let's look at some pictures from the Great Depression. And you say, oh, George, well, you know, we haven't had these soup lines over the last 12 years. We don't have all these black and white pictures. We don't have the Acme Employment Company, Farmhands Wanted, you can see here. Maybe we don't, but keep in mind, we didn't have food stamps back then. We didn't have these debit cards that they use today to get free food from the government. And EBT or whatever the cards are called, something like that, they can just use them just like a debit card. So the person that's shopping in front of you at the local grocery store, they could be using food stamps. They could be in the soup line of the 1930s and you'd never know it. It's just, I think we've had soup lines. And they've been growing to a significant degree. When you look at that period of time from 2008 to 2020, it's just the government has just swept it under the rug. It's out of sight. But if we didn't have food stamps, if we didn't have welfare, if we didn't have Social Security, you don't think we would have had soup lines over the last 12 years since 2008? I think all of us would agree we would, and it maybe would have been worse. And we definitely would have seen. I remember. Just, I mean, now, okay, let me back up here. Back then, to apply for a job, I'm sure they had job listings in newspapers, but you'd do this. And so you'd see lines of people that were standing out there, you know, just trying to get a job for the day. I'm guessing that's what this is. No. This is obviously in Japan or Asia or something. So, but you'd see these lines of people that were trying to get a job. But remember, they didn't have the internet. They didn't have Craigslist back then. So, just a quick story. I remember when I first got into real estate in 2012, I did a simple Craigslist ad just for some contractors, some tile guys, some electricians, just to help me with the first few remodel projects that I was doing. And I was offering maybe $10 or $12 an hour, something like that. And I remember within an hour, I probably had 100 resumes from people that were just wanting any job at pretty much any hourly rate. They didn't care. Then you fast forward to 2017, and I went back and I had some other, or maybe it was 2016, something like that. But I went back to Kansas City, ran the exact same ad because I had some pickup work that I needed done. It was like, you know, it was like a ghost town. I mean, my inbox was like the dust was going by, you know, it was just like crickets. And I couldn't get anyone to respond to the ad. And I even bumped it like to $15 to $20 an hour. Still not, you know, maybe I had two or three people respond to the ad, but it was just a night and day comparison. So my point is going back to 2012, when I ran that ad and had 100 people respond to it within an hour. Isn't that the modern day version of people waiting in line like this just to try to get any job they can get? It's just now it's on Craigslist instead of being out in the open. And now the food stamps or the soup lines, if you will, are just kind of swept under the rug. We don't really see them out in the open because we've got the debit cards or we've got the EDP cards or whatever they're called. And whereas before we didn't have that, and therefore it was just in plain sight.
This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for.
So now let's go back to the quote-unquote Great Depression. And this is from thebalance.com. I want you to look at real GDP. That's this number in trillions. So it's adjusted for inflation, obviously. We start 1929 at 1.1 trillion. Okay. Well, this was the decade of the Great Depression, quote unquote. And yes, we did have the spending for World War II, but look at the spending we had after the GFC. I mean, isn't that comparable? So we look at real GDP, 1.1 trillion. Where was it 12 years later? About 1.8 trillion. So that's an increase of about $700 billion. So let's just call it roughly 60%, maybe 65, just doing the math right off the top of my head here. That was during the greatest economic depression in American history. During that 12 years, from the 1929, roughly, to 1942, real GDP increased by about 60, 63%. All right, well, what did it do? In 2008, we start at roughly 16 trillion. We'll just round up to 16 trillion just to make the math easy. And where are we going into 2020? We're right around 19 trillion. So how much is that of an increase? Well, that's roughly 18%. We'll round up and say 20%. So think about that. From 2008 to 2020, prior to the Cerveza sickness, we had real GDP growth of basically, we'll call it 20% in total. Yet, during the Great Depression of the 1930s, we had real GDP growth of, call it 60%. Just let that sink in. Said another way, real GDP growth during the Great Depression was 40% higher than it was from 2008 to 2020. Is it any surprise that society is psychologically depressed? So this, I think, really connects all the dots, because Chris Martinson, Rogan, Dr. Malone, and Matthias Desmond, he's the one that I think had the original idea. They are giving us the insight to how these psychological components have impacted society and led us to where we are today, not only with the average Joe and Jane, but with the media, the politicians, a lot of what we're seeing. But they don't go far enough, where Snyder and Emil pick that up and say, okay, this is a great hypothesis, but how did we get into this mindset to begin with? And it starts with economics. And the fact is that when you can sit here and look at this and say, okay, we're under trend, no big deal. No. That is a huge deal to the extent that we have been suffering as far as our standard of living. Our economic output has suffered far more in the last 12 years than it did during the Great Depression. That's really the bottom line. So then the next question becomes, okay, if this economic depression, if you will, has led to society being this divisive and the media being this insane and a certain percentage of our population quite literally being hypnotized to where they will believe anything the central planners say, just so long as it gives them some feeling of control over their lives, some feeling of safety, some feeling of purpose. So the conditions that were created to bring us to where we are today with this mental state that a good portion of the population is in, are these economic metrics or are these are the things that are creating this economic depression, if you will, is that going to get better or worse moving forward? Because in my opinion, so Snyder and Emile will really focus on the Eurodollar system, the monetary system, and the global banking system, providing liquidity and creating this platform or this foundation for the entrepreneurs and the capitalists to actually do their thing and create economic output, economic growth. But another thing that I think is very important to pay attention to is even if you have the banking system running on all eight cylinders, which obviously it's not since the GFC, but even if it was, you would still have to have a regulatory environment that was conducive to bringing out the animal spirits, if you want to use a term from Keynes, bringing out the animal spirits for the capitalists and the entrepreneurs to go out there, do what they do, take risk, create jobs, borrow money, utilize capital, and then just create all of these goods and services that lead to the economic growth that could get us out of this psychological malaise, if you will. So moving forward, is that environment for the capitalists and entrepreneurs, is that going to get better or worse than it has been over the last 12 years? So I would argue that it's going to get worse. We may see a reprieve here in, let's say, the summer of 2022, but I unfortunately think that will be temporary. And even if we do see a reprieve as far as our personal freedom and liberty, I don't think you're going to see a reprieve from the conditions that have been set up by the central planners that deter and disincentivize the entrepreneurs and capitalists to go ahead and take risk and create the jobs, the goods and services needed to get us back onto this economic trend line that we saw prior to the GFC. I don't think we're going to get a reprieve from those restrictions. In fact, I think the environment for creating goods and services, i.e. economic output, is going to deteriorate even further. So then the next question becomes, okay, well, let's assume that that is deteriorating further. If we could somehow fix the banking system, the monetary system, or the Eurodollar system, maybe that would make up for the additional regulations and restrictions that are disincentivizing the capitalists and the entrepreneurs. Okay, where do you see that coming from, right? And it's, I get it, long-term, maybe Bitcoin, gold, something like that, but that's not going to happen in the next year. I can tell you that. Bitcoin or gold is not going to be base money, and it's not going to revamp the entire global monetary system in the next 6 months, or I would argue even in the next 5 years. And that transition gets very messy in and of itself. So you think, okay, well, we're not going to fix the monetary system, and the environment for entrepreneurs, capitalists, is only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. So then what would that tell you about this delta between real GDP and what should have been the trend line if we're running on all eight cylinders? What does that tell you about the future of the economic depression that we have been in since 2008? Going to get better or worse? All things considered, I think the probability is very, very high that it's going to get worse. Okay, well, if that gets worse, then what happens to those people that are hypnotized? What happens to the push towards authoritarianism? Well, that gets worse. Then what happens to divisiveness? That gets worse. If divisiveness gets worse, then what happens to the probability for civil war? And I hate to even go there, but you've got to think through these, where does this end? Where does this take us? Let's take it to its logical conclusion and see where we end up. And then let's work backwards, trying to understand why we're on this path to determine if there is any way to get off this slippery slope. And the only way to get off this slippery slope, if you're agreeing with Snyder and Emil, is to get our economy kicked into high gear. And I'm not talking about through stimmy checks and aggregate demand. I'm talking about producing goods and services. I'm talking about productivity. I'm talking about real economic growth, not just nominal GDP minus inflation. And, I don't see an environment, especially in 2022, when that's going to be realistic. And then you combine that with the fragility of the repo market, the Fed raising rates and doing quantitative tightening, then you combine that with the global elite trying to reduce the amount of energy consumption. And you may say that's good or bad. Fine, so be it. But the bottom line, like Art Berman teaches us, energy is the economy. So if we're going into a less dense form of energy, if we have less capacity, if we have less abundance of this highly dense energy source, then that means lower economic growth. And if we get lower economic growth, that means economic depression to a greater degree. That means more psychological depression. And we just get right back into this doom loop, if you will, this feedback loop where it just gets worse and worse and worse. And I hate to be a fear monger, but if you just think about things and put the pieces of the puzzle together, I don't know how you can come to a different conclusion. And I sure wish you could. So I'm going to be thinking about this a lot over the weekend and into next week when I do a whiteboard video on it. And I hope that I see a path out. I hope I can figure out a realistic way that we in the United States and in the Western world could regain the economic growth needed to snap all of society out of this state of hypnosis that eventually leads to war. I don't know the answers now, but I'm definitely going to try to find them over the weekend and next week. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Always stand up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.